We're going to get started looking into God's word together today. So I want to introduce to you our speaker for today. As you know, we have 12 weeks in this session and we have multiple speakers. Some will speak multiple times. Some will speak only once, like me. But we have just amazing women in this body that are desiring to teach God's word. And so one of those people is my teammate, Jennifer. She is on our community team, and she works at our church helping people get connected and does an amazing job. So when somebody comes in new, the name gets to Jennifer, and she will connect them with someone that could reach out and hopefully even meet with them. And also she helps place people for Discover class, which is kind of our new members class. But Jennifer and I have served together in women's Bible study for a number of years. And she has a true heart for the Lord and a heart for his word. And I think you're going to be blessed by her. She taught last year, if you were here, but would y'all, we'll pray and then y'all welcome Jennifer. Lord Jesus, we thank you for the opportunity to gather. Lord, I ask right now that you would help calm our hearts and our minds of all the crazy this morning. It's so hard sometimes just to get here, especially those with little kids that bring them in, get them to school. Just the craziness of the morning sometimes gets our mind going 90 miles an hour. So Lord, I pray that your spirit would just bring peace and stillness in our hearts, that we can leave everything that we've brought here with us outside these doors, and we can study your word together, Lord. We can hear from you, and we can apply what we learn. So, Lord, I pray for Jennifer that you would just fill her with your peace as she prepares to teach, Lord. I pray that you would, your spirit would speak through her. And Lord, I pray that you would be glorified. In Jesus' name, amen.
Good morning. Can y'all hear me? It is so sweet to get to be with y'all this morning. I truly love Tuesday mornings here down on this end of the building. Just knowing what's happening with women's ministry, it has played a significant role in my walk as a believer. Just the spiritual growth that comes from being in community with other women who are seeking God. And it just fills my heart to know that you're making the effort to be here today. My name is Jennifer, and I know Stephanie prayed for us, but if I could, I'd like to just go ahead and pray for us as well. It'd probably help calm my heart. I have been very nervous about coming and speaking this morning. Up until 7 o'clock last night, I didn't know exactly what I was going to be saying. I've been reading it and absorbing it and listening to it for the last month, but the words just didn't come together till last night. So I'm hoping everything comes out okay, and I have no idea where I am on time, Stephanie. So I'm praying it just fits within the right time frame. So let me just pray. Lord, thank you so much for this opportunity. Thank you for this space, for these women, for the desire to know you more deeply and grow in our knowledge and wisdom of you. I know you've prepared their hearts to be here this morning, and that you have something for them in your word today. And I pray that it just gets planted deeply and it gets watered throughout the course of their life, Lord, and that we would see just abundant fruit in our lives because of your goodness. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, Becca did a wonderful job last week getting us up to this point, and a lot of life has happened since last Tuesday, so I thought we would just do a quick review and get our brains warmed up for today's passage. So What do we know so far from chapter one? Well, we know that Paul is writing to the Ephesians, right, to believers in Ephesus, and he's reminding them of the spiritual privilege and the blessing that it is to know Christ and to follow him. And we learned that he was also reminding them that they have been chosen. And one thing that we see over and over again are reminders, and it's such a big part of the believer's life is to remember. Over and over, we see in scripture, remember, remember. Why do you think that is? Because we're so prone to forget, right? I mean, I can't even remember what I did yesterday. So it is so important to stop and remember. And that's what he's encouraging them to do. So what is he reminding them of? He's reminding them why they have been chosen in order that they might be for the praise of his glory. We kept hearing that phrase over and over again, for the praise of his glory, not for the praise of the world, not for the praise of others, but for the praise of his glory. And then we also saw his deep affection for those believers and how he prayed for them. And do you remember how he prayed for them? He prayed that God would give them the spirit of wisdom so that they may know him better. He prayed for their eyes, the eyes of their hearts, to be enlightened to the hope that they have in Christ. And then he also prayed for them to know the power of God that raised Christ from the dead, a power far above any other authority or power. So that brings us to today's text. And we're in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 through 10. So we're going to start off by going straight to the text. And it's always good to just remember that this scripture was written to the believers in Ephesus then, but it's also written for us today, this morning here in Bentonville, Arkansas. So let's read verses 1 through 3. As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins, in which you used to live, when you followed the ways of this world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our flesh and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature deserving of wrath. So what do we see in these verses? As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins. Dead. What does to be dead mean? It means that the body is deprived of life. It means that you're no longer living. It means that you're no longer functioning. You were dead. And we all start off spiritually dead. That's why there has to be this rebirth, that you have to be born again in the spirit. Perhaps you can recall a time when you felt that deadness inside, when you wanted so desperately to feel alive. Maybe there's parts of your heart that feel that way today. If you do, then you're in a good place, because life comes after death. Dead in your transgressions. Transgressions, that's a big word. What does it mean? It's an act that goes against God's law. It's an offense. It's breaking a trust. It's betraying a relationship. Transgressions. The Greek word, parabasis, I'm just guessing, means a deviation from the path. So we were all dead when we deviated from the path of life, which is life with Jesus. At one time, we were not on the path to life. As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins. Sins, it can be defined as a failure to live up to God's standards or missing the mark. So, sin is missing the mark, and this is our mark daily, right, in the life of a believer. When you miss the mark, and transgression is when you cross the line. So there's missing the mark and there's crossing the line. So as for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins. That's where we all were. All right, let's move on to verse 2, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All right, we're going to dig into this a little bit because there's a lot here. The first thing that stands out to me in this verse is the words used to live. When you used to live, when you were dead in your sin. You lived a certain way when you were dead in your sin and your transgression. You're not meant to live that way anymore because you've been made alive in Christ. So how did we live when we were dead? Sorry. This verse actually, it tells us three things that dead people follow. The ways of this world. What are the ways of this world? I took the fruits of the Spirit because that's what leads to life. And I looked for the exact opposite. And this is what I came up with. Hate, despair, conflict, impatience, meanness, wickedness, unfaithfulness, cruelty, and loss of control. Those are the ways of this world. And we see it, don't we? We see it. An example, a man was going through the drive-thru, ordered his favorite item on the menu. They no longer carried it. So what does he do? In an act of rage, he punches the drive-thru screen and busts it and breaks it. I mean, how much more out of control? How much more angry? How much more impatient can you be? You don't have my chalupa? When I heard that, and that's actually a real story that happened here in Bentonville. And I really hope it's nobody that you know, because I'll be really embarrassed. I'll feel really bad. But I was like, wow, what an example. Really, what an example of just out of control anger and impatience. Okay, so the ways of the world. What are the other things that dead people follow? It tells us the ruler of the kingdom of the air. I remember the first time I read this verse years ago, I thought it was terrifying to think there is a ruler of the kingdom of the air, but there is, and it's Satan. It's Satan. And there's a lot of believers who don't acknowledge that or recognize that he's at work in the world. The ruler of the kingdom of the air, that's such an odd way to describe him, right? But air, like air is everywhere, right? It's between you and your device. It's all around your remote control. It's in the bedroom. It's at your kitchen table. He's the ruler of the kingdom of the air. Like he is at work in this world. On my way here to teach, you know, I get a text at 8:20 from my daughter. Mom, I'm feeling sick. Can you come get me? And I'm like, really? Like, really? You're going to take a low blow like that, Satan? Like, I'm meant to teach today. This is my assignment. So I sent out an SOS and my dad was able to go pick her up. And then also when you're dead in your sin and your transgressions, the third thing is the spirit at work in those who are disobedient. So you're following something. When you're dead in your sin, unbelievers, they're following these things. And we were at one time before we knew Christ. And this is exactly why we need a Savior, because Satan is at work in the world. I mean, if this is your first time kind of even thinking about that, it can be a kind of a little scary and uncomfortable. But, you know, in the life of the believer, this is why we study our Bible, because we need to be aware and we need to understand God's truth. This is why we need a Savior. So let's move on to verse 3. All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our flesh and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature deserving of wrath. Okay, so we just talked about the wickedness, Satan, things in the world. Now we're talking about ourselves here. We're talking about the cravings of our flesh. This is what we chased after before we were made alive in Christ. The cravings of our flesh, our desires, our thoughts, or the desires of our mind. Your biggest problem is yourself. My biggest problem is myself. Our cravings, our desires, our thought life. It's the human condition. We are made of flesh and we battle that. Just like we battle Satan, we also battle our flesh. How do you think sin creeps in? It always feels very small in the beginning. It's a thought. It's an image. But eventually, if you keep walking in that direction, it will lead to death. It could be death of a trust, death of peace in your life, the death of joy, the death of relationship. Sin leads to death. So you must guard your thought life. You must guard your thought life and what you're exposing yourself to. Okay, up until this point, are you feeling kind of hopeless? It's kind of been a bit of a downer, right? But you know what? That's what you're supposed to feel, because there's a big but up ahead. Okay, this is what I love about God. He throws in that but, and this is in verse 4 and 5. But because of his great love for us, God, who was rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace that you have been saved. And I just love that. Even when, I mean, that's like all caps underlined, even when we were dead, when we were following the ways of the world, when we were following the ruler of the kingdom of the air, when we were following all the desires of the flesh with no concern for anybody else, that's when he chose to save us and make us alive in Christ. And just to punctuate it, did you catch that little dash in there? Just to punctuate it, he says, it is by grace you have been saved. Kind of like he's saying, oh yeah, remember, it is by grace. It's not anything you did. You didn't do anything to earn this. It's because I love you. It's because I love you. And that's the only reason that I have saved you, when you wanted nothing to do with me. And Paul goes on in verse 6. And God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that, verse 7, in the coming ages, he might show the incomparable riches of his grace expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. Why has he done this miraculous thing? Why is he doing this? Why has he raised us up with Christ? And the word tells us, in order that he might show the incomparable riches of his grace. His motivation is simply to show his love and grace to a lost and hurting world. And then verse 8, he repeats it again, "For it is by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not from ourselves, it is the gift of God." So we can't go feeling too proud about ourselves and all our good choices. He's saying, "I did this. I did this. You didn't just one day decide to become alive. I was at work the whole time in your life. I drew you to me. I breathed my life into you." And verse 9 says, "Not by works, so that no one can boast. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do." God creates the good works. God prepares the good works. And then he assigns the good works. So don't compare what you're called to do. It's not the same as what the next Christian is called to do. So stop comparing yourself to others. Seek to understand your assignment and seek to do it for an audience of one, because he's the one who has created it and prepared it and assigned it to you. So let's take a moment and let's think, let's reflect. What is God calling you to do right now? Is he calling you to be a loving parent? That's good. That's enough. That's a big assignment. Is he calling you to be a caring daughter for your aging parent? That's a big assignment. Is he calling you to be a kind friend? I mean, that's enough. That's enough. Is he calling you to be a gracious spouse? That's a tough one. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just saying these are all good assignments. Like, our assignments don't have to be these big flashy things. Like, "I'm going to do this for God." It's like that, you know, it's okay. It's okay. What is your assignment? And I remember years ago, somebody that was discipling me, like, "What is God calling you to do right now?" And it's like I was trying to he's calling me to break this generational sin in my family. And it's like, it had to be this thing. And it was like, she was like, "No, like right now, like right in front of you, like, what is he calling you to do? Be a mom? Like, is that enough? Is that..." I guess. Oh, but yeah, it was enough, because I wasn't doing a very good job at the time, and God had a lot of work to do on my heart. And so, yeah, what is God calling you to do right now? What does he put right in front of you? Okay. So, my commission for you today is to remember. This is what Paul was telling the Ephesians, remember. And so today, I want you to remember who you were when you used to follow the ways of this world. I think we forget, you know, life kind of gets mundane and we kind of feel like we've always been doing kind of good, haven't really done anything bad, following the rules, that kind of thing. But no, like, really remember you know, who you were when you used to follow the ways of this world and when you follow the ruler of the kingdom of the air. Remember what it felt like when you were dead inside, chasing after the cravings of this world. Just trying to feel alive. You know, we don't sit in it because that's no longer who we are. But I think it's helpful to remember because we can look and be like, whoa, like he's brought me so far. Oh, I used to be so angry all the time for no good reason. And man, I don't really struggle with that anymore. Or I remember when, I just used to get so stuck and just feeling depressed and like being so debilitated by that. And it's like, you know, now like it's kind of a thing. I know it's still there, but I'm not like a prisoner of it anymore. You know, like if we look at where we were and remember, it's like, whoa, like God has been at work. Like I have, he has been healing my heart. He has been transforming me. And so remember this week, take some time and remember. Because I remember. I was empty and I was desperate to feel alive 26 years ago. I was chasing after this world. I had no like thought of God or anything like that. I was plunging into darkness. I was chasing after anything and everything that might offer to numb the pain and the emptiness that I felt inside. I still remember that. And it was when I was at my lowest, darkest point in my life that I heard the sweetest sound that I have ever and will ever hear in my life. And it was the voice of my Savior calling to me, why? Why, Jennifer? You don't have to live this way. You can turn around and you can start following me. And there he was with his arms wide open, ready to embrace me. You know, we all come to faith in our own ways. For me, it was a dramatic conversion. He literally got a hold of my heart one night in my dorm room at college when I was in a deep, dark place and I was so isolated. And it was in that moment when I was dead, he looked down. In great mercy, I was like this poor child, and he raised me to life. I was not looking for him. I was running the complete opposite direction. He had the great mercy and the great love to save that one. To save that one right there. And amen. Yes, thank God. And I never want to forget that. I never, ever want to forget that. And I still think, oh, I'm going to get to a place where I can tell this story and not break down. And I'm like, no, I don't want to get to that place because I want my heart to always break when I think of how undeserving I was and how loving and merciful he is. And, you know, oh, my sweet babies, I've got four daughters. And I was telling them, I was like, you know, I'm going to be like teaching on this passage. And I think I'm going to share part of my testimony. And, you know, I've kind of got a little bit of a dramatic story. But I know there's women out there who don't. And I don't want them to feel like somehow, like, how can we relate to them? And they've all come to faith in their young age. Praise God. And so I'm like, what was it like for you? Like, I know, I remember vividly what my conversion moment was like for you. But when do you feel honestly like that you knew that you believed? And my now 13-year-old, I think she was 8, and she was like, you know, it was the fruits of the Spirit. Like, I was reading that passage on the fruits of the Spirit, and it was like all of a sudden, like, I was like, oh, I get it. Like, I just understood. And it was like the scales just fell away. And I'm like, God just breathed life into her and was like, yes, I'm opening your eyes to my truth. I'm opening your eyes to my love for you. And that was it for her. And then my 8-year-old now, she just got baptized last year. And I was like, and what about you? Like, how did you know? Like, because I'm always like, is this really real? I mean, they're so young. But she was like, for her, she knew that she only thought of herself and she wasn't the greatest friend. And all of a sudden it was like God opened her eyes and was like, you need to think of others. Like, you need to start thinking of others, not just yourself. And it was like, he breathed his life into her and opened the eyes of her heart to understand his love. And I'm like, that is just as miraculous as what we call, you know, those dramatic conversions. And even my husband, you know, he chose to believe at a younger age. He had a mother that spoke life into him and shared Jesus with him. And when we first got married almost 20 years ago, he would say, oh, I don't really have a story. Because like he would hear my story and be like, I don't really have anything like that. 20 years later, okay, it's like an onion. Like the layers come off. The longer you live, the longer you're with someone. And it's like, whoa, like you have a story, like you just didn't know what it was and you kind of had it buried down there. And it's like, you know, when God would gradually bring things to the surface for him, just being able to, you know, show grace and allow him to process and be like, yeah, that's a big part of your story. That's kind of a biggie. Like, anyways, so I love helping people understand their stories, their spiritual stories, and how God has been at work in their life. Because sometimes we just don't see it until years later, or, you know, until a friend maybe identifies with you and, you know, maybe speaks something into your life like, whoa, like that must have been really hard. And like all this time you're thinking, oh, this is normal. Like, everybody goes through this or whatever. Like we all have a story that God is writing. You just may not know what it is yet. And maybe you do. But for me, I will never forget that dark time 26 years ago in my dorm room. And it was the darkest yet the sweetest moment of my life when God breathed life into my heart with just a whisper. Like, can you fathom the power of a God who can raise a dead girl to life with a whisper? I mean, it's crazy. It is absolutely crazy. Imagine what he can do in your life or in the life of someone else who doesn't yet believe. So this week, your assignment is to remember. Remember that at one time you were dead. Remember that because of God's great love and mercy, and not because of anything you did, you were made alive. Remember. And then be open for your assignment, because someone may need to hear about a God who can bring a dead girl to life. And that's the exciting part in the life of a believer. That's what makes it an adventure, is you never know what your next assignment is. You live life with your eyes open, with your head up. Like, who needs to hear? Who needs to experience God's love. What is the assignment that He is calling you today? And maybe it's just your family. Maybe just start with your family. Like, how well are you loving your family? At one time, that's where I needed to start. All right. How are we on time?
I'm done.
Yay. Thank you, God. All right. Ooh, amen. Oh, let me pray for you before you head to your small groups. Lord, thank you for these sweet sisters. Thank you for being such a loving father. And gosh, just the mercy that you show us, the life that you breathe into us. Lord, have your hand upon these ladies as they head to their small groups. Lord, guide their discussions. Just bring things to mind that they need to lay before you. Bring them healing. Bring them transformation. Guide them into your ways, Lord. And we just love you, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.